name. Amen. Now, I would that everybody would do what Andrew did, bringing his own brother to the Lord Jesus. You probably have heard that little song, if everyone won one, how many would be one if one won one? And just think about it. If in the course of this year, 2021, that's a pun on the 1-1, and if in 2021, everybody in this congregation won one, what a congregation this would be. This would be an electrifying future for the work of God here in our church. Now, Andrew and one other had been disciples of John the Baptist. And this shows you how the Lord works. He uses John the Baptist. John the Baptist is God's voice crying in the wilderness. He points to Jesus as the Lamb of God, which is the text right above our pulpit here. Jesus, the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And then they begin to follow the Lord Jesus. And it wasn't long until Andrew was doing what every Christian should be doing, that is, making disciples. Now, he obviously thought on his brother Simon, and he rushed off and he found him and he brought him to the Lord Jesus. Now, this comes not just under the head of congregational evangelism. It comes under the head of daily Christian living. This is the way that Christians should live their lives. This is the way that we should be known. People should know that we are Christians because we are trying to make more Christians. We're trying to disciple others to become followers of the Lord Jesus. Now, it will be said, oh, he is definitely a Christian because, boy, he came and talked to me about my need to be saved and my need for the Lord. There's no doubt that he's a Christian. And if there were people wanting to bring charges against you, they could say, well, I've got lots of evidence because he's been continually talking to me about becoming a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Now, would there be enough evidence tonight to arrest you under that charge of making disciples? I fear that there may be some, even in our church. And if that was the charge, it wouldn't stick because you're not really known to be making other disciples. Now, it's a bad thing when Christians don't do this, but it's an amazing and a wonderful thing when Christians do this. And too many are making excuses. Too many are saying, well, I just leave that up to the professionals. There's the pastor, there's the elders, there's the others that are highly involved in the church, and that's their job, not me. No. I'm going to throw that one out. I'm going to reject that notion because this is the work of every true Christian. Every disciple should be making other disciples. Now, I want to thank Victor Carpintero tonight for talking to me about this. Some months ago, after Sunday evening service, he said, I want to talk to you about discipleship. And so I listened and we've talked to each other on the phone. Even yesterday I talked to him. Now, Victor has been coming to our church. He lives not very far away. His wife is called Aranya. And he found the Lord in Honduras. There was an American missionary who went down to Honduras and he didn't know anybody, but he started planting a church through evangelism. And the method was Christians discipling other disciples. And this is how he became a Christian. And the church, he told me the name of the church, and it's absolutely powerful. The Great Commission Church. And I like that. I really like that. I think we should add that to the name of our church. Cloverdale FPC, the Great Commission Church. Because we believe in going into all the world, preaching the gospel, making disciples of all nations. Now, pray for Victor he has a burden for his son. His son was hospitalized yesterday or perhaps Friday and taken in with a health problem into the emergency. His son's name is Mark. Pray for him and pray for Victor that the Lord will bless him and help him through this. And so in this message, we are taking Andrew as our model for disciples making disciples. And we want to learn how Andrew did it. We want to learn from him. The first thing we see that we need strong convictions about Christ. That's number one. Write that down. Write that down on a notepad, on inside your Bible, wherever. We need strong convictions about Christ. John 1:41, you will see that he first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Here was a tremendous confession and a conviction that was within Andrew's heart. He had found the Savior, and he said he's the Messiah, he is the Christ, meaning the Anointed One. And of course, the whole Jewish people were waiting for the coming of the Messiah. And many refused to accept that Jesus was that Messiah. But Andrew was absolutely convinced because John the Baptist had said so. And John the Baptist preached that Jesus is the Lamb of God. And of course, that very title that was given to the Lord was very, very meaningful to the Jewish people who were so well versed with sheep that became sacrifices. And now this history of the Lord Jesus coming into the world was wonderful. It meant the sacrifice of Christ. It meant the blood shedding for sinners. And it meant that there were to be no more Jewish animal offerings. And that meant full payment was made by the blood of Jesus. And that meant reconciliation to the Father through the Lord Jesus. Now, these are great convictions to have. And this is the gospel that we preach. And you may have been with us this morning listening in and learned of the great sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross, that he's the Savior. He's the only Savior. He is the one who pardons. And with that conviction, we want to be making disciples of the Lord Jesus. So he found the Savior, he found the Savior, and he found the only Savior. If you look at verse 41, you'll see there that he was the only one. He findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah. And then he called him, interpreted him, the Christ. There's only one. And that is a strong conviction. Now, there are many people that don't believe that. There are even people under the umbrella of Christianity, and they don't actually believe that. Some people say they believe it, but they don't live like it. They don't pray like it, and they certainly don't witness like it. Because when we see other people that are religious in other ways, following other world religions and even idols, well, we know they're lost. They are lost souls because they do not know the one only true Savior. And they need to be evangelized. They need to be won from their darkness, their blindness, to the truth and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Now, this is the reason that Christians have been hated down through history, because Christianity rejects false religion, usually religions of works, and they insist that Jesus alone is the way. Now, the Lord himself got hated and accused of bigotry because he said, I am the way to the Father. No man cometh to me but to the Father but by me. And that got the Lord Jesus into trouble, for that he was hated, and so shall we. But this is the work, this is the ministry of the gospel that God has given unto us. And modern man, well, he wants a love all religion. And the love all religions and love all philosophies will love you as long as you love them and accept them, because that's kind of a poly gospel. Love all, accept all. But Christianity is the message, as Andrew insisted. He must win his brother. He must bring him to Jesus. That is true evangelism. Now, false religions, of course, are a lie. And there are various versions of that lie. They are spawned by the devil. Paul the Apostle said that behind every idol is a devil, a false spirit that is deceiving and destroying the souls of men. And so they need to be evangelized because they are lost. Now, do you believe that? Do you really believe that tonight? If that is your personal strong conviction, then you will be involved in this work of making disciples and leading others whom you know, whom you love, to bring them to know and worship, serve the Lord Jesus for their salvation. That's the strong conviction that is required. Number two, you can write this one down. We need strong love for souls. Now notice what Andrew did. It said he first findeth his own brother Simon. That's verse 41. The first thing he did, he thought of his brother because he loved him. These two brothers grew up together. You think of all the things that they had been through together, growing up in the same home and all the issues of life. Now they were grown men, but there was still a kinship, an affection, and a deep interest in each other. And when Andrew came to the exciting enjoyment of knowing the Lord Jesus, he could only think of his brother. I want him to know too. I want him to enjoy the Lord Jesus. And so he went to him first. He went to his own brother first. Now this is natural love. And that is genuine. And that's real. And every Christian has to have a burden, especially for their family, for their loved ones. Paul the Apostle had that. He said in Romans 9, verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. And so while Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles, there was naturally in his heart a burden for his kinsmen, his own people. And so that the great motivation for making disciples is love, natural love, family love, kinship. Love thinketh no evil. Love is the fulfilling of the law. It is the love of Christ that constraineth us. And if we can live and let live, you want to worship your way and worship whatever idol and follow whatever religion, that's your business, not mine. Well, you don't have the love of Jesus. You don't have the evangelistic spirit that Andrew had. He first had to find Simon and bring him to the Lord Jesus. And evangelism is born out of love for sinners. Now, the primary motive is the love of God's glory. There is love in our hearts for God, love in our hearts for the Savior. We want to honor Him, but it's love for sinners, for individual souls, family, friends, co-workers, and the more that we are involved with people, the more we will be burdened to witness unto them. And we cannot be silent. There is within us a compulsion, a love that is bubbling up, that we must bring these people to know the Lord Jesus. Now, after I was converted and became a Christian at 18 years old, I had a real burden for my family. And I witnessed to quite a number of my family. I have a brother, and I certainly witnessed to him. And I have two sisters. I had aunts and a couple of uncles that I witnessed to and sought to let my light shine. And I'm thankful that there is one aunt that I believe was converted through, at least in some part of what I was seeking to witness to her. I gave her a book by J.C. Ryle on the new birth, and that was, I believe, very instrumental. And I witnessed to her. I used to go to hospitals and visit relations, seniors that were in homes and care homes, and read the Bible and pray with them. And I would witness to my family. Now, over the years, I've only been back probably a handful of times, and I've always sought to try and get a word to into their hearts and to be a witness unto them. And they don't like it. I would ask them, you know, they go to church, they go to these mainline apostate churches that don't really preach the gospel forcefully or straight. They're kind of a love-all message type of church. And I would ask my sister, I would say to her, does your minister, the preacher you go to hear, does he preach on that ye need to be born again? And the head goes down, there's silence. And it's uncomfortable. I have touched the raw nerve. I have hit the sore point. And they want to be churchy, but they don't want to be converted. And that's the heart of the issue. So why do we take the risk of offending people? Why do we take the risk of being uncomfortable with people? Because we love their souls. Because we must bring them to Jesus. And we must never give up. Because as Andrew loved his brother, we love our family members. We love people around us. And we want to be God's instrument to bring them to the Lord Jesus. And that burden for people in my heart as a minister called to Canada, 37 years I've been here, that is now a true burden for Canadians. And I look forward to continuing the radio broadcasts to reach Canadians with the gospel. Nothing delights my heart more than my phone to ring and it's a radio listener is telling me that they're listening and they want to know more. And whether it's a booklet or a CD or talking with people and praying with people on the phone, that is now my heart's delight. And God has given a wonderful opportunity to go on the airwaves across this country in many places to preach the gospel. And we just give God the praise for this ministry and that we will always be seeking to bring people to Jesus. I don't want to just be a popular preacher. I don't want just to be coming up with subjects that will tickle people's ears. We, our burden must be, as we let the Bible speak, to bring sinners to Jesus. And I am seeking to emphasize that more and more with an appealing voice and with prayer on radio, that people might cry out to the Lord and be saved. Now, number three, the third thing, you need to write this down. We need strong evangelistic efforts. It says, Andrew brought him, Simon, to Jesus. He brought him. Now, there's a strong evangelistic effort. Now, it doesn't exactly say he dragged him along or that he arrested him and wheeled him in for an interview with Jesus, but there were powers of persuasion. He certainly was the initiator. He didn't just go to his brother Simon and wait for some little opportunity. No, he went rushing in and he announced the opportunity. He told him that he must come, and there were powers of persuasion. Now, that's an art, And it is a compulsion that we can seek to lead others. Now, there is no passive evangelism. Some people talk about, you know, I don't witness to people. I just pray and I go to church and hope they can read my life. Well, I don't know if you can call that evangelism. It is a part of the equation, but is it really the work of evangelism? If you were paying an evangelist by the hour or by a salary and you were sending him out and all he was doing was the passive approach, you would say it's not worth it. No, we need to have evangelistic efforts. And evangelism, no matter how you cut it, it's noisy, it is stirring, it is to awaken men to their need of the Lord Jesus. And the evangelist will be a disturber of men's peace because they're asleep in sin and they need to be awakened. They need to be stirred up to their great need of the Lord Jesus. It was Billy Sunday who said that soul winning is a definite art to lead a definite person to a definite Savior. And that takes effort. And we've got to initiate and we've got to use every effort to bring people to know the Lord. So make an effort, a strong effort, to witness one-to-one. Now, so much of the work of our church, especially through radio, has been more broadcasting the seed and praying that God will use it. And yet, at the same time, radio is a one-to-one ministry because when people are, especially on drive time, are in their cars, they turn on the radio, and you're the only voice that's on that radio, it's a bit like getting into the car and talking one-to-one with them. And one-to-one evangelism is very effective. No one else is there. You can captivate their thoughts and attention and talk to them about the Lord. Now, door knocking, that is also one-to-one, and it is not very easy. However, speaking to an individual whom you know is very effective. It's very effective. It's a lot different than someone going to a door knock, cold turkey, as we call it, a stranger appearing at the door saying, I'm here to talk about Jesus. Well, if you, a friend, they know your life, they know all about you, and you arrive at the door and you give them an invitation or a little Bible or say, I want to just talk to you a couple of minutes about the Lord Jesus and invite you to church to hear the gospel. My, that has a very powerful effect compared to the stranger. And so pray about it. Pray about it. Seek opportunities. Pray for that right moment, right place, right time with the right person that God will lead you right there. And initiate the conversation. Don't wait until, you know, he's still talks about something that's somewhat religious. Initiate the conversation. Learn to maneuver the conversation to the subject. Now, here are a few starter lines that you might like to try. You could ask the person, do you want to hear what I heard in church on Sunday? Man, that would open up conversation, wouldn't it? Now, usually when you ask a question like that in a general way, they're not going to just shut the door in your face. They're not going to say an absolute no. They'll probably be a little bit inquisitive, curious. And they will say, what? Well, that's your pulpit. Now you've got the platform. You're interested in hearing what I heard in church on Sunday? And you can tell them, well, what you heard this morning. Isaiah 1:18, the Lord gives invitations to deep-dyed sinners to be completely pardoned. Wouldn't that be a great line? To witness at the door or a friend, what a wonderful line that would be. Another starter would be, do you want to know what I read in the Bible this week? Now, that's effective because it's personal. It's not just giving somebody a Bible and saying, go read it. No, it's something that's your conviction. It's what you've read, and you're sharing the benefit of it with a friend, a colleague, a family member, whoever. And it's a great line to start with. Father, did you know that such a person was a Christian? Now, there's a whole lot of talk about sports people that become Christians. I'm a little wary of that. Some of these superstar idea people, they turn out to be false professions. So I would shy away from that. But we do all know people who are Christians. And we can say, you know, isn't it a wonderful thing that that person is saved and has a testimony of salvation? And that is an opening line. Here's one for you that might be effective. Here, what you can ask someone to initiate the conversation. Do you think all men will be in heaven? And that is a very, very hot topic. Will all men be in heaven? Many people, well, they say there is no heaven. But if they go to a funeral, all they want to hear is the preacher to say, everybody goes to heaven. And so that's a very hot topic. And it's one that will lead to the gospel. And you can say, well, we may not be able to answer that in every individual case, but here's what Jesus said, that those who believe in him will have eternal life. John 3:16, perhaps. So these are starter initiative lines to initiate conversation that may lead to further opportunities to witness. A little piece of advice is don't argue. Don't argue. Very seldom do long arguments accomplish much. It is better to state the truth and tell, well, that's my testimony, and I rejoice in this, and I'm going to keep on saying it because I enjoy it so much. And just let your testimony shine in the truth. Another pointer I would give you is use Scripture. Use the Bible. Even you have a little card with a text on it. But what's even more effective is to have it highlighted in your Bible, stand there at the door or wherever you are, point your finger to the verse and say, would you like to read that right here in the Bible? And you sort of point it out. Get them to read it right out of the Bible. That's God speaking to that soul now. God out of his word speaking to that soul. That's not just you speaking to that soul. That's God speaking. And you can tell them that. You can tell them that. As they have looked at those words, you can say, that's God speaking. God says here to you that he will do this for you if you trust him. And keep to one verse, one thing. You don't want to go to somebody the first time and give them 25 verses with 25 different concepts. You want to give them maybe one verse, one text, one gospel truth. Maybe that Jesus is the eternal Son of God. That's a great truth. Or that Jesus died a substitutionary death on the cross. Christ died for our sins. One text, one truth. And let that stick. And pray that they will take it in and they will not forget it. Now, to be doing this work effectively, everyone needs training. Evangelists need training. And we should go two by two, at least. Go as a team. Link up with another person. Someone perhaps who is well experienced in the work of evangelism. And they will be a great help to you. And you might not say a whole lot, but you can stand along and listen in and learn. Listen and learn. And if you talk to Victor, I would highly recommend you. Talk to Victor. Call him up and tell him, I want to have a conversation with you about how to evangelize. That would make Victor's day. Or talk to our elder Alan Samuel. He is another one that seems very well gifted for evangelism and has done quite a bit of it. And if you talk with Alan on how to evangelize and maybe say to him, could we go together so that you would have a team, whether it's two or more, and you said, no, let's meet, pray about it, and look up verses that would work, and then go out and do it. And it's the doing of it that will make you an evangelist. And so I would encourage this church to have an evangelistic team. Now, we have done something of this off and on, and things happen, people get busy, and we end up not doing it for a while, but we need to keep doing it. For any church to grow, there has to be disciples making disciples. And so form an evangelistic team. If you're interested in that, go to the elders, ask them, can we do this? Can we do it as a church? Can we do it with prayer? Can we do it as a team? And let's get out and reach the lost for the Lord Jesus. Now, I know in this pandemic that's not as easy, but there's literature. You could give out books on doorsteps, or you could use the phone. There's many ways to evangelize rather than just going out into public places. So there's a way to do it if there's a heart to do it. And if we love the Lord and we love souls, we need the heart to go out and witness for the Lord Jesus. Now, one last thing that I'm going to close with tonight, and that is that we need a church strong in ministry. Strong in ministry as a family. As a family. Evangelism should be the part of every church's ministry. And I like that title of the church that Victor went to down in Honduras called the Great Commission Church. I love to hear. When I heard that yesterday, I was talking to Victor, I was just rejoicing. I said, that's great. I would love to join a church that had that name and had that ministry. And I pray in the future when I attend a Barrie Free Presbyterian Church that it will be like that. It will be the Great Commission Church to reach the lost for the Lord Jesus. And we need to be a congregation that is strong in the truth of the gospel, where the Bible is used by all. You know, you've got someone and you're trying to make them a disciple, and you introduce them to the church, and they walk in, they take their seat, they look around, and there's people holding the Bible. There's people flicking the pages, following the preacher. Here is a congregation that is committed to the Bible. That in itself is powerful. It makes a great impression. And it's not people just sitting back, folded arms, half asleep, and the preacher's up there telling jokes, doesn't really use much of the Bible. No, we need a church that is full of good Bible gospel ministry. And we need a congregation that is loving. Loving to the lost. When people come to church, for some, it is a very strange affair. There are people who sometimes come as far as the church door and they get cold feet and they go away again. I've had people tell me that. And, you know, the devil's busy there, of course. He will create that fear of going into a church. But it is strange for the unconverted people to come to church, especially for the very first time, and to a Bible-preaching church. It's a strange affair. And there needs to be a very loving, friendly attitude, welcoming and warmly encouraging those that are seeking, those that are maybe made a profession of faith, but they're babies. They need milk. They need to be nurtured. They need to be encouraged. And I want to commend this congregation for the many years that you have done this. We've had people come into this church and their lives have been wrecked. And of course, we thank Kerry Hansen for introducing many people to this church who have come off the street. They have been drug addicts, alcoholics. They have been, their homes have been dysfunctional. These people are unkempt. They are pretty much down and out. They've hit rock bottom. And they come into a church and they sit down beside you. And you've got your Sunday clothes. You've got your etiquette. But I'm thankful for good people in this church that reach out to the lost. Talk to them and take time with them and seek to even pray with them. We've had that happen many times in this church. And that's the kind of ministry that is needed. A deep, deep, genuine love for people. The church should be a hospital for hurting souls. The church is not perfect. It's not made up of people who have got all their lives and they're dotting the I's and stroking the T's of perfect Christianity. That's not reality at all. We are a church ministering to hurting people. We're a hospital. We're to be nurses. Paul used that term in his epistles. He ministered as a nursing father. That's the work of the gospel church. And I want to commend this congregation for doing that in the past. And I pray you, keep it up. Keep it up. Don't lose that interest and burden for individual souls. And of course, we need to be a church that prays for the lost in our prayer meeting. Our prayer meetings should not just be like the health list, and you pray over the health list, and then you go home. No, the prayer meeting of the church should primarily be about souls in need, whether they are believers, young Christians, young people, and some of them make mistakes, and they fall, and they stumble, and they need help, they need encouragement, they need mercy, they need Christian love, but we need to be praying for them. And then praying for the lost that we're reaching out. And if someone says, I witnessed to two people this week, want you to pray for them. Let's have their names. Let's pray for them one after the other and make this church a prayer ministry with an evangelistic thrust, because we're called to make disciples. And that's the kind of church that we want to be. Paul the Apostle spoke of his great burden for souls. He said in Acts 20:31, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. That burden, that true Christ-like compassion, must be in our hearts. There is an account of Salvation Army workers in the city of London, England, where they were going out into the streets evangelizing, and nothing was working. The people wouldn't listen. They were making no impact. Nobody would come to their meetings. They were just failing. And so they sent a text to General Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, and they reported, it's not working. What shall we do? And he sent a very terse reply, try tears. And that is very often the secret ingredient in evangelism. You need to love the people whom you're witnessing to. You need to have been in prayer for them prior to witnessing. And you need to be asking the Lord to use you to be his instrument to reach them. And it should break your heart if they won't listen, if they will not open up to the gospel. That's evangelism as we find it here in the Bible. Andrew brought Simon to Jesus. Let me start where I began. If everybody in this congregation won, how many would be one in 21? Rhymes, doesn't it? I hope you remember it. And I hope that that is the experience of this congregation, that at the end of the year, there will be, what would that mean? Among the adults, at least, it should be a doubling of the congregation. Wonderful, wonderful. And it's not beyond what God can do when we are each serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you. And I look forward to great reports in the future of this church evangelizing. And I said to the elders recently that in a way I will be your radio evangelist. I'll be working under the auspices of this church, going out preaching the word on radio, taking the gospel to Canadians. And I pray that we may work together. Will you pray for me? And may the Lord give us those tears of uniting together in prayer for the souls of those who need Christ. Let's unite together. Father, we thank thee for your